Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
No, yeah, you bunted the ball. It's like, you can't bunt the ball when your ball's coming at your face. That's just, that's like, my God. I'm not going to get into that, but that's just, I'm sitting there looking at this guy pool of blood on the ground. I'm like, come on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, nine floors up in the Kia Studios on a game day Sunday morning.
Attaboy!
That is Braves manager Brian Snitker talking about the scene and seeing what happened to Charlie Culberson in the game last night. And he went ballistic. Snit just went ballistic, got tossed out of the game, and then the Braves poured on a bunch of runs, and they win last night to seal up a postseason spot, a berth in the playoffs. Still got to nail down the division, but joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline, a guy that keeps us always up to date on everything from the Chopcast live, Corey McCartney from Fox Sports South joining us. Corey, good morning to you.
Hey, Greg. How you guys doing?
We are doing fine. I want to ask him a question before
go ahead.
Because he knows right. Around baseball, too. He's not just Braves, right?
Yeah.
He's a baseball maven. Today was the day that the Texas Rangers retired their first number. It was back in 96. It was in 96 they retired their first number. If you had to guess who that person was, who is it? And it's somebody obviously you know.
96.
Yes, Texas Rangers.
96. I don't know.
See, when
I mean, obviously I'll know after you tell me, but.
Well, the thing is, the crazy part about this is when I think of the Texas Rangers, I only think of this person. And I think of him using Robin Ventura as a speed bag.
No,
okay, Nolan Ryan.
So, all right, so Nolan. No, I do think of Nolan Ryan with the Texas Rangers.
And yeah,
I was
me too.
Say Nolan Ryan, but I thought it was almost too obvious.
I thought you were going to say Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Burrows or somebody. No,
nah, it was okay. Nolan.
Yeah. All right,
there was our first one. All right, so we've been talking all morning, Corey, about the anger and you know, rightfully so, that manager Brian Snitker has toward the umpire for not. You know, changing the call, he, you know, gave, you know, Charlie a strike on that. The guy got hit in the eye and all that stuff. And then, you know, the manager not taking their pitcher out after that because he was obviously shaken.
Right.
But these situations, when they happened, how do you feel about umpires and officials sticking to the letter of the law?
Well, I mean, didn't Dave Martinez ask if he had squared up? So, I mean, at that point, it kind of falls on him a little bit, too. You know, I mean, I think that it was a little insensitive all around, and I get that. You know, the umpire saying, "Look, my concern was with the player's well-being," and tell the manager asked, "Was he squared around the bunt?" And obviously, then called the strike. So, you know, I think there was a lot of blame to kind of toss around in that moment there when you consider the Nationals manager and the umpire, and really not taking into consideration the situation that was at hand. But you know. I think that's what riled Snit up, was the fact that Martinez asked for a ruling on whether or not he had squared up and wanted that strike. And I think that was the kind of, I guess, ugliness of it all. And certainly, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Rodney was, as you mentioned, shaken up. And I think, if the situation wasn't what it was with the Nationals chasing a wild card, does it not kind of play out the way it does in the aftermath of it? Maybe he doesn't ask for that. Maybe Rodney doesn't stay in. But, yeah, I mean, certainly their manager helped to kind of ignite that moment and really set Snit off.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com outline, Corey McCartney. You know, and that being said, thoughts about this. We were pointing to this segment of the schedule. We're going to get into September, and then the Braves are going to have all these games against division opponents, and the Braves have been able to carry their own and continue to move forward against the teams in the division. And that's what we were looking forward to this part of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, the Phillies are, you know, on the brink of being completely eliminated from the postseason, and then you've got them next. So, and then that's who the Nationals play as well coming up. They've got four days against them, including a doubleheader. So, yeah, I mean, the Braves have obviously more than held their own in this stretch of 14 games and 15 days against the NL East contenders there. And, you know, just, I mean, look, they're three games away from the Dodgers for the top seed in the NL right now. And to have that be the state of things, you know, when you've played this stretch and you've been performing so well against the Nationals, I mean, it certainly says a lot about this team getting prepared for what lies ahead in the postseason.
Man, I'm tell you what, though, Sam, I say this to you too, Corey. You know, those of us that have been in this town for a long time and remember the entire run of the 14 seasons, we've seen these seasons, right? We've seen them both ways. We've seen them run up to the end of the season and clinch the division or make the playoffs. And then we've seen it where they're sitting back smoking a cigar, you know, midway through September because everything's taken care of. Do you have a preference one way or the other for your Braves fans?
You know, I think it's interesting because, you know, to me, the real question boils down to, do you want the one seed and potentially getting a wild card, which might be this Nationals team that we know how talented they are, or do you want to get a Cardinals team that, yes, they have not had the most spectacular of the full of the season, but they're catching fire at the right time behind some really good starting pitching. So, you know, if I'm the Braves, obviously you want home field advantage for the NLCS, but I think, you know, you want to avoid, you know, you want the best matchup. And to me, I think the best matchup for them in the first round is to get the Cardinals as opposed to probably, you know, having to face a wild card team in the Nationals.
Man, you would rather face the Cardinals?
I hate that Busch Day, man, going up over there, man. That's 150 on the field and all that. And
always.
How about that city?
And you can certainly say, okay, well, the Nationals have never won a playoff series. Of course, we'll take them. But man, you've faced the Cardinals this season, and you know that how much they struggle against right-handed pitching. You've got some really good right-handed starters. I think, to me, in a lot of ways, it just sets up as a better matchup for the Braves.
You mentioned starters, and I guess at some point we're going to start figuring out talking about who the starters would be for the playoffs, who is in that rotation, who ends up having to go to the bullpen. How far away do you think are from really having that determined?
You know, it's really interesting because certainly you know you're going to get Dallas Keuchel in there as a lefty along with Mike Soroka. And it's like, where do you go from there? If you're playing the matchups, and again, against the Cardinals, they played them six times this season. They've only used right-handed starters against them. You've had Soroka. You've had Foltynewicz in Toronto, the only guys on this Braves rotation that have had a start against the Cardinals, if that's going to be the ultimate matchup for them. You know, Freed's been really, really good. Foltynewicz is coming on. Teron has had a low-key, really strong season for him. So, you know, to me, I think you probably have to load up a little bit with righties. Does that ultimately push Freed into a swing role in the bullpen? I know it's unfortunate the way he's been pitching, but if you're going analytics and you're going, what is this Cardinals team's problem? You know, that's what it is. And I think you have to kind of bucket a little bit and just play to your strengths within that matchup.
Corey McCartney, Fox Sports, joining Sam and Gray here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to go around the league for a minute because I'm just perplexed at the conversation I've heard over the last week about some managers. And these managers are teams, playoff caliber teams,
okay,
that may not have their job come next season. And let's start with the Dodgers. If they don't win the World Series, what's the fate of their manager after this run that these guys have had these last few years and making it to the dance but not getting the hardware?
You know, I think the thing with Dave Martinez, though, is not necessarily, and I understand that that's the end goal for this team, and they've put a lot of money into this, and that ownership group is, you know, is dead set on getting that championship. But you look at the way he has to manipulate that roster and the way that they use these platoons and the fact that they're on this run, To me, I have a hard time believing Dave Martinez doesn't have a job. And who are you replacing him with? You know, I think that's the thing. When you talk about Joe Maddon and the Cubs and you say Joe Girardi's out there, I understand that. But who's replacing Dave Roberts in L.A. that's going to have more success than he has? I don't see anybody out there that is just that dead-on guy. This isn't college football where there's some coordinator sitting there and you think, okay, this guy's going to step in. Petrino's gone, Scott Satterfield's going to come in, and we've got this hot shot guy. Baseball's not like that. To me, I just don't think there's a guy that makes a ton of sense for the Dodgers if it's not Dave Roberts.
Yep. We watch for that one. Talk about someone who has returned to this Braves team. Nick Markakis was out for a while, and we wondered how this team was going to maintain with him gone, not just because of what he's doing on the field and at the plate, but also what he brings as a voice in the clubhouse. Talk about getting him back with the team, especially at this time.
Certainly, it's a key time for him just to get his legs back. And I say that, but he's, 6-for-9 since he's gotten back. So he's missing 7 weeks from what you're seeing on the field standpoint, that diving catch that he made on Friday night. I mean, this doesn't look like a guy who has missed, any time at all. But I will say, I'm curious how they end up using him in the postseason because on the season, he's hitting just 4% above league average, but he's 18% above against righties. And I think his struggles have come against left-handed pitching. Now, certainly you have a lot of options with guys you can put out there in an outfield, you know, with Acuna and Joyce if you're riding with Joyce. You know, you've got Duvall, you've got Riley if you carry Riley. To me, the best use of Nick Markakis is against righties. Is that the plan that Brian Snicker is going to use? I mean, we know he sees Markakis as an everyday player. So I think that, to me, is going to be a really interesting factor. Certainly the leadership angle with him is huge. You know, he's the one who set the tone in that clubhouse. Having him back is crucial. I'm just really curious on how he gets utilized in the postseason.
When is it proper, if there is such a time, to start setting up your pitching rotation as you head into the playoffs? You know you're going to be there. You don't know who you're going to be playing right now. These guys got one more divisional matchup, at least at home, with Philadelphia next, but then they got San Francisco and Kansas City before finishing up with the Mets. So do you start that tweaking of it during those San Francisco and Kansas City series, or do you wait till the end of the season and see who you're coming up against?
I guess it's a matter of whether or not they want to make a run for that top seed, right? I mean, if that's the case, you know, maybe you're a little less flexible in that way. I do think they're going to end up skipping a Soroka start, just because I think the innings, you know, do become a factor when you start thinking about a guy, you know, who's what, approaching 175. You know, if he gets two more starts before this thing's up, so I think scaling a little bit back with him. I do think it's interesting though, because to me that's really the key is, do you want to try to chase down the Dodgers for that top seed? Because if you do, then you're maybe not going to manipulate it, but. You know, I do think you have to think about, you know, these younger guys too. With Keuchel, I mean, we know, you know, he's starting to trend in the right direction. He needed some time to get his legs back after missing so much of the season. But you know, those last couple series they have are good opportunities, especially if the Mets fall out of this thing. But you get the Royals, you get the Giants. Those are key opportunities if they're going to try to tweak things a little bit heading into the postseason.
Well, Corey, we always appreciate you dropping some knowledge on us. We hope everything's going to work out well with Charlie with Culberson as well. You heard any update at all?
Yeah, we're hoping to hear something this morning. Certainly a really scary situation. A guy that's, you know, popular, you know, without question in that clubhouse. You know, someone who's just one of the guys that you're around that just, you know, just happy to be playing Major League Baseball. Just really, you know, enjoys seemingly every day that he's out there. And, you know, obviously everybody hoping for the best for Culberson.
Yeah, Corey, listen, we mentioned this earlier in the show, and I did not mean to make light of it, but I was trying to talk to a certain age group of Braves fans who don't maybe realize what happened last night or what follows a shot like that to the eye. And I was bringing up the famous Sports Illustrated cover with Tony, with Tony Conigliaro from years ago, and telling people, Google that, and you get an idea of what Charlie might look like coming back.
Yeah, and I mean, it would not be surprising to hear that he's done for the year, right? I mean, that could be, there could be an orbital fracture. I mean, who knows how you know, hopefully, you know, avoided anything, you know, detrimental to the remainder of his year, but obviously a really, really scary scene, and certainly you call back to that. That is one, yeah, look that up, because that'll show you just how horribly wrong this kind of thing can go.
Corey, we appreciate it, man. We're going to be talking to you more as we get closer to the playoffs. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, thanks, guys.
I appreciate it.
Don't forget, he is social.
Yes, he is.
He is social. Follow him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.